We thank you for your love and kindness and for your tender mercies. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we thank you that today we can rejoice in knowing that Jesus is in heaven with you, Lord God. We thank you. Oh, Lord God, do we thank you. And Lord Jesus, we just thank you for your finished work on the cross. We thank you. And then for your finished work in the grave and then your resurrection, Lord Jesus. And now you're in heaven and you make intercessions for us. And so we thank you. Lord God, now speak for your children are listening. We're listening to hear a word from you, Lord God, a word of hope, a word of peace, a word of love, Lord God, a word that removes all fear. Oh, Lord God, have mercy upon your people. Have mercy upon our nation this day. And take hold of me, the preacher, and put me under submission to your holy will. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks be to God. You need to sit down here, Zabna. Please. And now my sermon title today is The Great Reunion. The Great Reunion, right? We give God thanks that we could come together today to remember it. And I'm gonna start with a reflection here. The Great Reunion. And it's called The World Can't Steal the Ascension. Ascension Day is the perfect church holiday because the world can't steal it. The culture around us has quite ruined Christmas and Easter. Very wise reflection. Of course, the world owned Christmas as its festival for the restoration of the sun before the early Christians used it to disguise their celebration of Christ's birth. But the world has now stolen it for its consumeristic purposes and has seized Easter for the same idolatry. In my teens, the writer says, I played clarinet in a high school band for the town Christmas parade, at which Santa Claus was flown in by helicopter. Later, I heard they flew the bunny in for Easter. But the world hasn't got the foggiest notion what to do with someone flying out. They do not know what to do with the ascension. So today, I would like to talk to you about the ascension, what I call the Great Reunion. The Great Reunion. The definition for the ascension, the act of rising to an important position or a higher level. That's the definition for ascension. The act of raising to an important position or higher level. The ascent of Christ into heaven on the 40th day after the resurrection. That is the ascension. Now the definition for reunion is an instant of two or more people coming together again after a period of separation. The act or process of being brought together again as a unified whole. And so the ascension has both Jesus being lifted up and then being reunited. It is both the lifting up and the uniting of Jesus with the triune It is the greatest reunion there ever could be. In this time of social distancing, some would call it social isolation due to the COVID-19 pandemic, we can fully understand and or grasp the need for reunion, don't we? We could understand the longing of being reunited. We want to be reunited with our loved ones. We want to be reunited with our children and our friends. We want to be reunited. We know now what it means to long to see someone, to long to be there to what? To hug them. Don't we want to be reunited just to hug, to give them a kiss? We know how it feels now, the separation. Yet we cannot even imagine in our own mind the separation Jesus had when he was walking the earth and waiting to be reunited with his Father and the Holy Spirit. We cannot even imagine it. But we have a small inkling now of what it means. I mean, some of us just want to be reunited with going shopping. We just want to be reunited with just touching things. You know, the other day I had not driven my car for 2 months since March 15. And 2 weeks ago I drove it and the battery wouldn't start. And it's a good car because I never even went out to turn it on. My poor car wanted to be reunited with me. My poor car was begging me, come and touch me, drive me. We want to be reunited. We understand that. We now understand it. That's why people they say they're breaking the social distancing norm. It's not because all of them want to be so bad. No. It's just a need to have the touch of a human hand, just to touch someone, especially those who are older, those who live alone. We could understand that. The ascension of Jesus, the great reunion, we read in the Gospel of Luke and also the New Testament book of Acts of the Apostle. We read in Luke, then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple blessing God. Right? They were blessing. They thought he was being lifted up and then he would be coming back. But he would come back. We'll talk about that next week. He'll come back in the personhood of the Holy Spirit. And then we read in Acts of the Apostle 10 to 11. And when he was going and they were gazing up towards heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them, and they said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking upwards towards heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go up into heaven. So we see Luke, right? You must have noticed, friends, if you read the gospel, if you read the Bible, you must have noticed that Luke is the only gospel to record the ascension. Luke is the only gospel. It is implicit in Matthew. It's there in Matthew. It is mentioned, it's presupposed in Matthew 28:16-20. As it is also in John and Mark. Mark doesn't even mention it. Mark does not even mention it at all at the end. But Luke the doctor, Luke the physician, wants us to understand that the bodily form of Jesus would now become what? Be lifted up. He wants us to understand the magnitude of this, that a body could be lifted up, it had to be the power of God. Luke understood that from being a physician, he understood that for that body to be lifted up and be lifted all the way up into heaven, all the way up into the skies, had to be a work of the Creator God. Not possible. So Luke talks about it more than any other gospel, nobody else does. So let us recap. Let us look back for a moment. When Jesus Christ accomplished the greatest act of love and redemption of all time, when he went through the clouds and splashed down on heaven's shores, what a celebration he started. You see, the ascension is a celebration for us. It is not a weeping holiday in the church. It is a celebration, you see. He had done it. Jesus had just completed the most dangerous and most important mission of all time. We think the Apollo 2 going to the moon was a big deal. And when they returned, and it was a big deal for humanity. When they returned, we had parades, right? Ticker tape parades throughout the nation. Well, friends, I come to tell you, when Jesus was ascended into heaven, there was a holy ticker tape parade. The Son had been reunited with the Father and the Spirit. He had faced every temptation, but he never gave in to sin. He stood up to the intense hatred of people with only truth and love. He could have called legions of angels to rescue him, but he willingly obeyed God and fulfilled his mission of giving. Of giving up his life as a sacrifice to bring people back to God. He defeated the devil. He destroyed death. Now he is returned in victory. The Father welcomes Jesus and seats him at his right hand, the place of highest honor. He gives all authority to Jesus, the scripture says. Why do we celebrate the ascension? Because all heaven celebrates the victorious return of the Son. The Lamb who was slain, the Lion who was conquered, the one who says in joy and power, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. It was done. So friends, what does the ascension mean for us? We know what it meant for God to be reunited. Because if you remember on the cross, when he was separated for that one moment from God, he was broken for that one moment. That's why he want the cup to pass. He did, you know, that sin would separate him. And that's why at the end he would say, into your hands I commit my spirit. He was so happy and delighted that he had completed the job. He was fulfilled. So we know what it meant for him. What does it mean for us? So let me give you some points what the ascension means for us. The ascension's purpose is to create oneness. The ascension purpose means means that God, the Father, Jesus, the Son, and the Holy Spirit has completely become one. As I told the children, they have completely become one. The oneness, two as a purpose. Just as our glory as a purpose. They may be completely one so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. So the ascension lives out Jesus' word when he says, so that you and I are one, Father, so the world may know that you have sent me and that you and I are one. So the ascension reminds us that there is no separation between God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. They are one. The ascension, second point, the ascension points to Jesus' kingship. He's now King of Kings, and he's Lord of Lords. He has now taken his rightful place in heaven, and he sits at the right hand of God the Father. This picture over here, this banner over here gives us a great little view of Jesus being lifted up, the ascension. He's now at his rightful place. And there's a little song that we sing that, all hail King Jesus, all hail Emmanuel, King of kings, Lord of lords, bright morning star, and throughout eternity. Oh, I'll sing your praises, and I'll reign with you throughout eternity. I never remembered that song until last night. I would have made us sing it after the preaching. All hail, King Jesus. All hail, Emmanuel. And then there's the other one that says, he is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. His name is Jesus. Jesus, oh, he is the King. It goes a little bit like that. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. His name is Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, he is the King. Oh, he is the King. Oh, yes. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. His name is Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh, he is the King. He is the King. Oh, glory to God, he is the King. Hallelujah. Didn't know I was going to be doing that, but praise the Lord. I'm so excited that he's in heaven. The ascension is also a gift to the world. The ascension is a gift to the world. Point three. Jesus paved the way. Hebrew tells us that in an act of enormous courage and defiance, Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame, and then adds significantly that he is now seated at the right hand of the God on the throne. So now, and he has been incarnated, atonement, resurrection, and ascension. It began with the incarnation, atonement, resurrection, and ascension, the going down and the coming up of the Son of God. And that opens the way not only for forgiveness, for us to be forgiven of our sin, but also lifting the shame from us. For these ingredients in the accepting grace of God and an invitation to be in union with God. It is a gift to us that Jesus is ascended. Because he could intervene, intercede on our behalf. We would not be walking, praying to him if he was walking the earth. Still, Jesus knew that he had to be connected with God. The ascension of Jesus is the ascension of humanity to the throne. That is point four. It is the ascension of humanity to the throne. That means because Jesus ascended into heaven, guess what? We too will have the opportunity to ascend to heaven if we accept him as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It opens up the door. Opens up heaven's door, heaven's gate for all of humanity. Think about this. When Jesus sits down at the right hand of the Father, it is the first time that human flesh is on the throne of God. Right? Because he was flesh and he then is God. And he allows human flesh to enter into the throne room because of him. Because he opened up the throne room so that we can also enter. Barbara Brown Taylor puts it this way. She's a well-known theologian and writer. She says, by ascending bodily into heaven, he showed us that flesh and blood are good, not bad. That they are good enough for Jesus, good enough for heaven, good enough for God. By putting them on and keeping them on, Jesus has not only brought us, he has also brought us to God. Jesus, by putting on flesh, by God putting on flesh and become the incarnate deity, Right? And then leaving the earth to go up. And now let us know and understand that we too are flesh and blood, can enter heaven through Jesus Christ, through the washed blood of Jesus Christ. Shows us that we have forgiveness. We can enter. The writer of Hebrews says that we can enter the throne room because he allowed it to happen. Tore the curtain. And then he went into heaven to put the stamp of approval. Make it so that we could enter. Praises be to God. And the fifth point, the ascension of Jesus, say that Jesus is the great high priest. There is no other high priest like him. Great high priest who would enter the throne room and would never die, would live forever. He's our great high priest, so we can go to him. If you understand Jewish theology, they needed a high priest to ask for their forgiveness of sins. They need to enter into the Holy of Holies and the high priest and ask for forgiveness. But Jesus entering heaven, his ascension solidifies for us that he is the great high priest. When we call on him in prayer, when we ask for forgiveness, our sins are forgiven because he is the everlasting high priest. Yes, he is, and we don't have to worry about that. The songwriter says, he is Lord, he is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And point six, the ascension of Jesus means that he welcomes us home. There is this great reunion. Not only the reunion of Jesus, God, the Father, and the Holy Spirit, but the reunion of every believer that dies in Christ. Every time a believer dies knowing Christ, there is a great reunion in heaven. Every time one who has accepted Jesus Christ, he said to them, do you remember John 14? Do you all know that text, right? John 14, 1, we should know it by heart. He had fulfilled that. He had said it to the disciples when they were worried. He had said it to them when they were confused, when they were weary, when they were fearful. He was going to leave and he told them. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Yes, friends, in my Father's house, there are many, many dwelling places, many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. You see, he went to prepare a place. There's a room up there for me. Glory to God. There's a room up there for you who is watching. And for those who have just lost loved ones and who believe in Jesus Christ, who accept him as his Lord and Savior, there is a room up there for you. I don't know if we're going to be bunking. I don't know if we're going to be having our separate room. I'm asking for single occupancy when my time comes. But whatever the Lord gives me, there's a room up there for us. His ascension means that we will be welcome homed. We will be welcome home. We'll be hearing, come. And for somebody who has lost their loved one, who has lost a loved one just recently, who believe in Christ, here is the hope for you. This Ascension Sunday, when your loved one went home to be with the Lord, let me tell you, oh, glory to God. Not only were his family, him or her family, who was there before them, who knew Jesus, but God himself, Jesus himself, was welcoming them home. The great reunion. When you believe in Christ, he says, in my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Friends, and so we worship him. We worship him today because the ascension means that it was all done for us. The whole plan of God, the hope of Christ. The hope of Christ. You know something, friends? Can I just share something with you? I was looking on Facebook, and there's a lot of Baptist preachers throughout the country who have gone home to be with the Lord. They had big funerals at the beginning of March. Not because they did not know. the magnitude of the virus they did not know. And they are big churches, a lot of them, and a few of them well, more than any other denomination. And there's some nuns, a bunch of nuns who are clustered who have gone home, but a lot of Baptist preachers have gone home. And last night I was looking at my Facebook. I was looking at me, I never get to it, too kind of late looking. And there were three Baptist preachers. And the person wrote, one was 88, and another one was like 74, and then it was a Roman Catholic priest from Helmers. He died at 60. Helmers has been hit hard from the coronavirus. They all passed on from the coronavirus. And as a preacher, as a pastor, as a Christian, who have given my time to the Lord, hopefully I'm doing what the Lord has called me to do. And when I read it, there's a moment that in your heart, you think about it. It grabs your heart, it touches your soul, that another person has gone home. And I was listening, I read the article about how wonderful this pastor had been, the one who was 80, everybody knew him, and how he served the community and wonderful. And you know, the only thing that brought me comfort at that moment, that one moment, the only thing that brought me comfort was being reminded that Jesus is in heaven. The only thing that brought me comfort at that one moment was to know that I too will be reunited with him when my time comes, and that it won't be all that bad. Fear may come up. It's the dying that brings fear, if truth be told, friends. You know I'm an honest preacher. It's a fear of how the process of death goes. But in the back of my head, I could hear the Holy Spirit says, we're going to pass over with you when your time comes. We will pass over with you. Amen. Oh, I truly believe the ascension of Jesus reminds us. An angel, the ascension of Jesus reminds you today, angel, that when your sister passed over, she died believing in Christ, that Jesus held out his arms to her. Oh, glory to God this today. That is our hope, isn't it? That when we die with Christ, we do not die alone. And that's how I could swallow and got my thought back to say, thank you, Jesus. Whatever it is, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. And so today, we are reminded that Jesus will be there with us. The ascension reminds us, and I'm so glad, as the writer says, that they have not been able to commercialize the ascension. That the ascension reminds us that Jesus is in heaven. The song says, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, we long to sing your praises. We are so glad you're in our lives. And we're so glad you came to save us. Lord, you came from heaven to earth to show us the way from the earth to the cross. Oh, our debt you paid, our sin debt you paid. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, we lift your name on high. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Amen. Oh, glory to God. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, master of everything. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the great shepherd, the rock of all ages. Almighty God is he. Oh, glory to God. Bow down before him. Love and adore him. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And amen.
Amen.